Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. B. Richard Ferguson.
We're studying James chapter 3, where James warns us about the dangers of the tongue. James 3:5. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a whirl of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. If you saw someone walking around with a loaded gun, and he just seemed to be waving it around without any caution, you might say, "Hey, be careful with that thing. Watch where you're pointing that." That's exactly what James is telling us today about the loaded weapon we're walking around with that's a lot more dangerous than a gun. James wants us to understand how urgent and how important it is to gain control over our speech. And that's no easy task, because look at verse 7. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. We can tame animals, wild animals, before we can tame ourselves. I mean, we can train Bart the Bear and Lassie and Flipper and Shamu and all the other, but I can't get myself to say nice things to someone who's cross with me. Why? Why is that? Here's why. Look at verse 8. He says, because it's a restless evil. Your tongue is restless. That word restless, again, we've seen that before in chapter 1. In verse 8, it's the same word translated unstable. So, James 1:7, the man who doubts God should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. Verse 8, he's a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. Double-minded and unstable. Your tongue is unstable. It's double-minded. It's restless. That's the problem. That's the problem with controlling your tongue. It's restless. Your tongue has ADHD. As soon as you try to get control of it, you discover that. It's like a toddler. It just can't be still. It can't be still. And you get it subdued, and then you turn your back for 1 second, and boom, it's off, sinning again. Your tongue is like that, isn't it? Our tongues are double-minded. Verse 9, with the tongue we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. It's not just white man that speaks with forked tongue, right? It's every man that happens to have a tongue. In between cursing people, we start blessing God, our Lord and Father. The word bless, to bless God, means to acknowledge His worthiness, to be honored and thanked and praised. Acknowledge His worthiness, that's blessing. The word curse here refers to just angry speech. Any kind of speech, when you're angry, upset with someone, the stuff that you tend to say to them or about them, that's what this word cursing is talking about. And James gets real emotional here. It's an exclamation in verse 10. My brothers, this should not be! No! I mean, James, he's saying, that's just so wrong! It's so immoral for out of the same mouth blessing, praising God and cursing people who are in His image and likeness. Can you see the horrible inconsistency of that? It's like if you said to your wife, "Oh, you're beautiful," and then you catch her reflection in the mirror and say, "Oh, that's hideous." I mean, it'd be hard to, or if you saw a photo of her and you couldn't quite make out her face, so you didn't know it was her, and you say, "Wow, what a dog she is." And then you say, "But you're beautiful." Well, can you see how it'd be hard for her to receive that as a compliment? We bless God, "Oh Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I see." And then we turn around and we see His image in someone, and we speak negatively about that. How can that be? How can God possibly enjoy our praises when we're doing that? And so he says, my brothers, this should not be. And James just wants us to see how serious this is to God. We have a hard time. Again, we just have a hard time seeing how serious sinful speech is because it's such a part of ordinary life. And so it's not on our list of big ones, right? You know, if somebody goes out and commits sexual sin, oh, that's scandalous. That's really scandalous. Somebody does something illegal, goes to jail, that's scandalous, that's big. But in our list of the real horrific, big, scandalous, terrible, big, contaminating kind of, sins of speech just don't make the list. And it makes Jesus' list. Jesus, he spoke about it way up. I mean, how could Jesus have put it in any stronger terms than in Matthew 5? Listen to Matthew 5:21. You've heard it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you, anyone who's angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the high court, and anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. How could it be any stronger than that? Reckless, unstable, out-of-control speech is not a little sin. It's not a small matter. It's huge. It's scandalous. It's big. But we don't want to acknowledge that. We want to minimize it. We want to minimize the significance of the sins of the tongue. A few four-letter words slipped out of my mouth once in a while. What's the big deal? Just words. Just words. Or we come up with excuses. Right? That wasn't gossip. It was a prayer concern. Right? I'm not complaining. I'm not grumbling. I'm just making observations of reality. I'm a realist. I wasn't being dishonest. Just trying to protect him from the painful parts of the truth. Not being unfaithful to my word. When I said I would do that, I thought I meant as I would consider doing that. I'm not angry, just frustrated. Those weren't harsh words. It's just my personality. I'm a loud person. I talk this way all the time. God made me a forceful personality. You know, like the Old Testament prophets. What, you haven't read the prophets? But none of those excuses are going to fly. Sins of speech are serious sins, especially the one of cursing one another. Hostile speech, angry speech, derogatory words, gossip, slander, insult, sarcasm, all the different things we do. When we're mad, when we're going to hurt the other person or hurt their reputation with our words, it's evil. Even the world can see that's evil. Do you know it's against the law? Slander, libel, defamation of character, those things are illegal. Even our unbelieving, dull, spiritually dead, unbelieving culture around us can see these things are wrong. And I could go through and give a definition of gossip, a technical definition of slander, gossip, but I mean, we do a whole Bible study in each one of those topics, but I think it'd be a lot simpler just to think this way. Think about how you talk about the people you really love, and think about how you talk about the people that you're angry with. Love thinks of a person in relationship to his best day, right? And anger thinks of a person in relationship to his worst day. Isn't that true? If someone comes and they start ripping on somebody you really love, and you hear that, you can step in and say, whoa, 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 that's not what he's like. That's not what he's like. Here's what he's like. And then you go on and you describe him at his best. But when you're angry with someone, it's the other way around, isn't it? This is what she's like. And you go on and you describe her at her worst. You describe her that way. Why? Because you think of her that way. And the one you love, you describe him at his best. Why? Because that you think of him that way. How would you like to be described? Would you like people to think of you as being defined by the way that you acted on your worst day? Or would you like them to connect you with your best day? Think of how James described Abraham and Rahab in chapter 2. He described their best days, didn't he? I mean, he could have painted a whole different picture if he would have picked different events in Abraham's life and Rahab's life to describe, right? He talked about them in their best day. But instead of doing that, what do we do when we're upset with people? Verse 8 says, the tongue becomes a restless evil full of deadly poison. Another vivid image. See, a toddler with ADHD is a handful. A rattlesnake with ADHD is a problem. Right? Because unsupervised toddlers, they just make messes and break things. Unsupervised tongues are like poisonous snakes. They kill people. And as I was studying this week, I just had to keep reminding myself, keep telling myself, Daryl, this is talking about your tongue. Your tongue. My tongue is like this. My tongue is like that. Just like a snake. I've got little sacks of venom, deadly venom in my mouth. And every once in a while, I'll bite. And when I do that, I can't get the poison back. Poison goes out, I can't get it back. Imagine you're out in the woods, you're backpacking somewhere, 3 or 4 days away from any medical help, and all of a sudden you get bit by a rattlesnake. And the snake says, "Oh, I'm sorry, man, my bad, totally my bad." If snakes could talk, that would be nice to have that apology, but it wouldn't do anything about the poison in your system, right? James says you need to be careful with your mouth because you got poison in those things. Do you realize that? Do you remember? Before you open your mouth and start to talk about somebody who hurt you or talk to somebody who hurt you, don't forget about the poison. It's in there.
I mentioned two different kinds of people you have in your life. There are the people you love, and when you talk about them, you characterize them in light of their good qualities. And then there are those people you're not so crazy about. When you talk about them, it's in light of those moments when you've seen them at their worst. If you have anyone in that second category, what would happen if you began speaking of them the way you speak of the people you really love?
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of James. 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. And if you like listening on your phone, get our free mobile app. Install the Church One app from the Play Store and select Food for Your Soul. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.